Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk this morning about the faith that Mary had in the not-so-accidental Christmas that came to be the time where our Jesus was born. And when we've said this every week, and I'll say it again just because I want us to remember this, that with the Christmas story, and the reason we call this series the Not-So-Accidental Christmas is because nothing in the Christmas story happened by chance. There's no accidents. Just like Ronnie just read, it was all on purpose to lead to the cross. That's what everything leads to. The birth of Jesus leads to the cross. The faith of Joseph we saw last week leads to the cross. The faith and the obedience of Mary that we see this week, guess what? Leads to the cross. Leads to Jesus dying for our sins to give us a chance at eternal life and to be forgiven in eternal life with Him. So Mary, we look at Mary. Mary's probably, I would say, and maybe you agree or disagree, but Mary's probably the second most talked about and most focused on person in the Christmas story. And it's for good reason. It's for good reason. But it wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for Mary's great faith. It's no accident that God chose her. It's no accident that she had the faith to obey God when He did choose her. It's no accident that because of the faith and the obedience that Mary had, that she was a huge part of the story that brought Jesus to this world so that He could change the world. It's no accident. None of that stuff is accident. And we're going to look at the story real quickly this morning. Hopefully that's what we'll get out of it. But in looking at Mary's faith, I want us to see ourselves in Mary and in this story. I want us to see ourselves and our faith in the faith that Mary had and the process in which her faith came to be. There's a process here. I don't know if you know that or not, but there's a process that happens. And how can we be encouraged by the faith of Mary? First thing, let's go ahead and read. Let's just read through these and then we'll go down through these verses again after we read them. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, about halfway through the first chapter, it says this: "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary asked the angel, 'How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?' And the angel replied to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And in verse 38, she says, 'I am the Lord's servant,' said Mary. 'May it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel left her." How can we be encouraged by the faith that we see through Mary this morning? I want us to be encouraged by it. I also want us to be challenged by the faith that she had. And I want us to leave here changed. I want us to leave here a little closer to Jesus than what we walked in with this morning. So the first thing I think we see is in the first few verses, and it's simply this. The first part of Mary's faith encounter with God or with this angel is, and remember, the angel, just like last week with Joseph, the angel is the messenger of God, but it's God's word. We believe the angel is bringing God's word to Mary. So she has an encounter with God, and it's a surprising encounter. That's the first thing, is Mary has a surprising encounter. It says that the angel Gabriel was sent to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, and it said he was sent to a virgin who was engaged to Joseph. We talked about all this last week. We talked about how the engagement was about a year long, and it was a process, and they spent time with each other, and they got to know each other before they were fully married. There was no sexual relations while they were engaged. So she was a virgin. We know that. It also meant, though, the word virgin in this language also meant that simply she was just a young woman. We can't let that slide either. Yes, she had never been with a man, but she was also just a young woman. And yes, those things kind of coincided with each other back then, because that was the cultural feeling of the day. That's what they did. Even though God hadn't spoke to them in 400 years, didn't mean that everything was just godless and off the rails. They still held to those traditions, and they still held especially to the marital traditions of the day, where engagement took place, a year happened, and then they finalized the marriage, which also meant that they were able to be with each other physically. So here's Mary, engaged to a man named Joseph, a virgin, and an angel shows up to her. This young woman, no worldly experiences for this young woman. No godly experiences, really, for this young woman, as far as God speaking to her or her seeing God speak to a prophet and a prophet coming and speaking to them and leading them. Now again, yes, God had not spoken through a prophet or an angel or anything in 400 years to these people. But it didn't mean that everybody was godless. In fact, the Old Testament says that God would always have a faithful remnant of people that served and followed Him. So we believe Mary and Joseph, others, were part of this faithful, godly remnant that was still there. Even though God hadn't spoken, they still trusted God. They still followed God. We pray about one thing, and we don't hear God, and we go, well, I'm not going to believe in Him anymore. Or one big thing happens in our life that doesn't pan out like we think God ought to have it pan out, and we go, well, God didn't do that, what I want Him to do, so I'm not going to believe anymore. These people had waited 400 years, and Mary had remained faithful. She was one of the faithful remnant, along with Joseph, her soon-to-be husband, one of the faithful remnant. And this young woman, with no experience in the world, no godly experience of Him speaking to them, and an angel shows up. This angel shows up. Now, much like Joseph, hey, don't be afraid. Why do you think they said that? Because they were afraid. Because that wasn't something that normally happened. Especially an angel speaking the word of God. That wasn't something that had normally happened. And Gabriel was the angel's name. Gabriel showed up. And he showed up a little bit earlier in this chapter to Zechariah, who was the husband of Elizabeth, who was the dad of John the Baptist. He had spoken to him. Gabriel, we also see in the Old Testament a couple of places. One specifically, he shows up and speaks to Daniel in the Old Testament. Gabriel often showed up when he showed up to be a heavenly spokesman of God, but not only that, but to help people know what God's will was. Help somebody understand and know God's will. That's kind of what Gabriel the angel did. And like Joseph last week, God sending His word to His people, whether it was through a prophet or an angel or who it might be, that was a monumental thing for God to show up. It would have been a very surprising thing for God to speak. So the angel shows up. It's surprising. It's just a surprising encounter for Mary. But the angel doesn't just visit Mary. This angel makes some pretty surprising and important claims about Mary. In verse 28... it says that she's a favored woman. In verse 30, it says that she has found favor with God. Put yourself in Mary's place for a second. You've not heard anything in 400 years from God. Your ancestors have not heard anything from God in 400 years. And the first thing you hear from God is not the preacher preaching. It's not a prophet that comes into town that shares God's word with people. It's an angel showing up to you, and you hear God's word, and He says you've found favor with God. That would be pretty surprising for that to happen. And then in verse 29, we would know, but it says that she was deeply troubled because of this word favor, I believe. And trouble doesn't mean that she was bothered by it and tried to run away from it. It just means she was confused or she was perplexed. She didn't understand what this meant. It's not only that God hadn't spoken to them, but Mary knew that she wasn't deserving of this kind of blessing from God. Favor, the word favor here, can also, and probably better, mean God's grace. You found grace with God. That's probably a better way for us to understand it today. You have found grace with God. Mary was a sinner, just like everybody else. Now, some would tell you that Mary was born sinless, or she was conceived sinless. Guess what? It's not in the Bible. People would tell you that she lived a sinless life. It's not in the Bible. And one of the things I could point to prove that is right here. If she was born sinless and conceived sinless and lived a sinless life and knew there was something special for her, and this angel showed up and said, hey, you're favored by God, why would she be confused if she was sinless? She would go, you know what? I am a pretty good old girl. Maybe God does have something for me. Hey, I've never sinned in my life. This makes perfect sense. It wouldn't have confused her one bit when the angel showed up and said, guess what? You've got God's grace on you. Why would she need God's grace if she was sinless? Mary was just like you and me. In the sin category, she was just like you and me. She had messed up. She needed God's forgiveness. She needed God's grace. She needed God's favor on her life. She needed that. And this angel shows up and tells her that, and she's like, well, I don't know why I've got God's grace. I don't deserve it. But that's God's grace, isn't it? We don't deserve it, but He gives it to us anyway. Mary's not equal with Jesus. Mary's not sinless. Mary's not somehow a part of your salvation. You don't trust in Jesus and Mary to save you. You just trust in Jesus. Mary was just a regular old girl, young lady. But she was chosen by God to be used by Him. Same as He does with us. He chooses you to be used by Him. You might say, well, He didn't choose me to be God's son's mom. No, He didn't. He didn't choose me either to be that. But I'm not harboring any hate or any ill will against God for that. But guess what? The things He puts in front of me, He chooses to put in front of me so that I can do those things for His will, for His glory. The things He puts in front of you, guess what? He chooses you for those things. He wants you to be there. He wants you to do those things. But it's surprising for us a lot of times too. That's how we're like Mary. He puts this in front of you and you go, oh no, God, you don't, oh, you don't understand. I can't do that. I'm not that good of a person. You don't understand. You can't use me for that. No, He can, and He will. And He did Mary, and He will you. It's just as surprising to us sometimes that God wants to use us as it was to Mary. So she has a surprising encounter, but then we see develop her strong faith. It's in there, but God has to kind of get it out of her a little bit. Starting in verse 34, let me read this again to you. It says, Mary asked the angel, how can this be? How can this be? The angel Gabriel just tells her what's going to happen. She's going to have a son. He's going to give him the throne. God's going to give him the throne of his father David. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob, which is all of Israel, forever and ever. His kingdom will have no end. That sounds crazy. And Mary knows that. And she goes, But how can this be? How can this happen? How can I have a son? Listen, our faith is not always as strong as we want it to be. And our faith is not always instant. We're human. And we're going to question things. And we're not going to believe certain things. And it's going to take us a little bit of time to get there sometimes. Just like it did Mary. Mary questions this angel. And maybe you would say, you know what? If an angel showed up in front of me, told me God's word, I wouldn't question it. Yes, you would. We question God's word every day. And we've got it in black and white on paper. You question it every single day. Well, I know God wants me to be this kind of person, but me and Him, I've heard this a thousand times. Me and God have an agreement. Well, if it's not in here, it's not a good agreement. It's your agreement. It's not God's agreement. We do that, though, don't we? We think, oh, if an angel would have showed up to me, I wouldn't ask questions like Mary. How could she ask a question to an angel? Well, you question God's word, and I question God's word every single day. Even when our faith isn't top-notch at first, there's something awesome that happens that we see in here. God is faithful to bear with us. Do you know in 2 Peter it says that He's patient with us? God is faithful to bear with us, even when our faith isn't where it needs to be. Because look what He does with Mary. He could have said this to the angel. Gabriel, listen. Gabe, I don't know if he called him Gabe. Gabe, go down there and see Mary. And the moment she questions, if she questions you, I just want you to turn around, walk right, fly right, whatever you do. Get out of there. Just get out. I don't need her if she's going to question me. I don't have time for questions. I need somebody that's going to have faith and listen and do what I ask him to do. And so Gabriel could have gone down with that mentality and said, all right, hey, Mary, let me lay it all out here. You're going to have a son. He's going to be the Lord. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob. His kingdom is going to have no end. How much more clear can I be? And Mary questioned it, and he could have went, nope, she's not the one, and left. But God is patient with us. God bears with us. When our faith is not exactly how strong it needs to be, He's patient with us. You know why He's patient with us? Because He knows that when our faith does kick in, along with the power that He has, which is so much greater, we'll be able to completely do His will. We'll be able to fulfill the things He wants us to do. When we have faith and we follow Him, we can do those things through His power. It's just our faith. It's just us kind of putting ourselves aside and going, okay, I'll do it. We don't have any power at all. All we're doing is saying, listen, okay, I'll trust in your power, God. That's faith. Faith has nothing really to do with any power on our part. It's just you surrendering yourself to what God wants you to do. I don't understand this. I don't get it. It sounds crazy. But I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. Whenever God called me to ministry, that was my mentality. God, I don't have the right testimony to be in ministry. I don't have this big story where you saved me from drugs and alcohol and girls and rock and roll and all this. I don't have this. I don't have that. How are you going to use me? And what about these people at church that have seen me grow up and they know me? Like they know I'm the kid that lights up my tires every time I leave the parking lot. Like they see that. They hear that every time I leave. They see the smoke. They know. They know me. They've known me for 17 years. God, I couldn't do this. So I came and I prayed at the end of a service one night and I said, God, you... Listen, if this is what you want me to do, okay, I'll do it. But I think I know better than you. I just don't think this is how this is going to work. I don't think this is going to work like that. My faith was real, real low. But I said, if you'll just let me know this, if this will be the end of it. My faith won't waver on this call. After this, it won't waver. If this is what you want me to do, fine. I'll just do it. It sounds crazy. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know why you want to use me, but fine. And I stood up and I knew that's what God wanted me to do. But my faith was real low before that. For about a year before that, my faith was really low. But God knew that if I would just have faith, if I would just get out of the way and let His power come on, He'd be able to see His will done through my life. And it's the same for you. And it doesn't have to be a call to ministry. It could be anything that you find yourself in. God will use you if you'll just get out of the way. So the angel responds with God's plan. She questions it, and the angel responds. So God didn't say, Gabe, go down there, and if she questions it, leave. He said, listen, just be patient with her. Remember, I haven't said anything to anybody for 400 years, Gabriel. You've kind of been off the hook for a while. So you need to go down there. Just be patient with her. She's not going to know everything. Be patient. Be loving. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then not only does he respond in that way with God's plan, then he gives an example of how he's already worked in her cousin Elizabeth's life. And then he encourages her with the greatest verse in probably chapter 1 for me. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. So he says, all right, Mary, I got you. I know you got questions. Well, here's God's plan for it. Here's the proof that he can do it because he's already doing it in your cousin Elizabeth. Like, she was called childless, and now she's got a child on the way. It's going to be different for you a little bit, but it can be done. And don't forget, maybe you had forgotten this, but don't forget, nothing's impossible with God. And that's all it takes. For Mary, that's all it took. Mary's faith is activated. It's strong. She believes the words of God that the angel told her. She's ready to do what God's told her to do. And in verse 38, she said, "May it be done according to your word." Or your version might say, "May it happen as you said." As crazy as it sounds, Mary's all in. She's all in. Her faith, she has gotten out of the way. She has let God's power work. She said, "I'm just going to let you do what you want to do, God." Now, and listen, Mary wasn't a scientist. Mary wasn't a doctor. But Mary knew how babies came about. And it was still, even in the craziness of that, she was going to trust God's plan, even if it wasn't normal, even if it wasn't in her thoughts to be able to even happen. She was going to trust God's plan. And like we said with Joseph last week, God knows our limitations. That's why he's patient with us. The limitations that maybe he gave us in life, or the limitations that we've brought on through sin in our life. He knows those limitations. He knew the limitations of Mary. And he was patient with her as he explained what she would be doing. He knew the limitations of Joseph last week. He's patient with us. God will keep calling us even when we don't listen. It happened to me. Maybe it's happening to you right now. God will keep explaining to us when we don't understand. God will keep encouraging us when we don't think we're good enough. God will keep putting people in our life to help us know God's will better. God will keep answering prayers even when you don't think he's answering your prayers. He's going to keep doing it. God wants our faith to be strong, because strong faith is what keeps us in God's will. We're not perfect, never perfect, but our faith can be strong. We see Mary's strong faith eventually. And then lastly, we see Mary's selfless obedience. Look in verse 38 again. Her first words after the angel speaks again are not, "Well, let me think about it. Well, I've got one more question." If it was my mom plays 20 questions with everybody. If it was my mom, it would have been 20 questions. Luke chapter 1 would have been long. It would have been a long chapter. And she would have asked about 20 questions, and then she would have went, "All right, God, we'll do it." But Mary's not my mom, and so Mary only asked one question, and then she says, "I am the Lord's servant." Jesus, come on. God, I'm your servant. Whatever it might be, I'll do it. She was obedient. Strong faith that we see happen, instantly it happens. Now, it took a question in there to activate that faith. It took God being a little bit patient with her. But when the faith happened, her strong faith always will lead to, and strong faith always shows up in our obedience. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. I'm here for you, God. I'll do whatever you want me to do." That's a scary thing to say. I used to think back before I was surrendered to ministry, "God, if I say I'll do what you want me to do, if I say I'll go into ministry, you're going to end up sending me somewhere I don't want to go. You're going to end up, I'm going to have to move overseas, or I'm going to have to go to this, or I'm," and I have been places I haven't wanted to go. But God's always been faithful. God's always been good. Moses, because we look at this and we think, well, Mary was, it's not that important that Mary obeyed. It is. Because when God called Moses, before Moses eventually obeyed, he had excuse after excuse after excuse. Mary only had one excuse, and it was kind of a question. It was a valid question. Moses gave excuses. "I can't talk good. I'm really a nobody, God. You don't want me. I don't have any power, God. How am I going to do this? God, I don't even know your name." Those are all the excuses Moses gave. Jonah in the Old Testament, God called Jonah and said, "Jonah, I want you to go to this place called Nineveh." And Jonah's like, "Nope, it's godless. I don't want to go there." And God's like, "No, that's why I want you there, because I want you to tell them about me. I'm going to give them one more shot, and I want you to be the guy that goes and preaches to them. They're going to have one more shot to turn around, or I'm going to wipe them off the earth." And Jonah goes, "Okay," and goes the exact opposite way, flat the opposite way that God told him to go. He ran from God's plan. The disciples in the New Testament, after Jesus was crucified, they didn't stick with God's plan. They went back to fishing in their other jobs. They didn't keep doing what they had been doing with Jesus. That's why Jesus, walking along the shore after he resurrected, saw them in a boat out in the lake fishing, because they had lost a little bit of faith. They hadn't been very obedient. Now, eventually they would be obedient, but Mary obeyed. Mary obeyed. And even obeyed, not knowing 100% what obeying really meant. I don't know that she even realized the magnitude of what was happening, but she obeyed. I am the Lord's servant. Maybe that's something you need to say this morning. You know what, God? I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm just going to be your servant. Whatever you put in front of me, I'm just going to be your servant. Whatever you put on my heart I need to do, I'm just going to be your servant. Whatever you put on my heart that I don't need to do, I'm just going to be your servant. Maybe God says, hey, you need to be a better mom or dad at home. You need to spend more time with your family. I'm just going to be your servant, God. Maybe you need to be involved more at the church. Maybe you need to involve your kids more in the church. I'm just going to be your servant, God. Maybe you need to walk across the street when your neighbor goes out to get their mail and invite him to church. I'm just going to be your servant, God. Maybe you need to sit by that person in the lunchroom that nobody else sits by, that your whole table talks about, to kind of make fun of. I'm just going to be your servant, God. How are you going to be God's servant? How are you going to selflessly obey like Mary did? And she obeyed even with risk involved. I believe she knew the risk. I don't believe she knew 100% what obeying really meant, but I believe she knew some of the risk. How was she going to tell Joseph about this? And guess what? What happened? God took care of that, didn't he? She probably thought that, man, this angel just came. How am I going to tell Joseph that this is going to happen? God takes care of it. Is Joseph going to believe her when she tells him? Guess what? God took care of it. Is he going to divorce her? Is Joseph going to divorce me if I tell him? Guess what? God took care of it. What kind of stuff is the town going to say? Guess what? God took care of it. I don't know how, but he took care of it. How much would Mary be humiliated because of all this? God's going to take care of it. Because of simple obedience, look how God used the young woman for his glory. God sought out. He found this normal, unsuspecting, unimpressive young lady for his purpose of bringing his son into the world. God used her. And you might say, well, there's not going to be another Mary. God's not going to bring another son into the world. You're 100% right. But what he calls you to do and what he asks you to do is 100% as important as Jesus coming into the world. Because Jesus is already here. Now he wants to use you to reach people. That's why Jesus came into the world, was to reach people. So how he wants to use you is just as important, because it's still under the guise of reaching people for him. Bringing people to God. He's calling you to do the same, to just selflessly obey. All he's looking for is for you to have faith in his plan and for you to be obedient in what he's asking you to do. Be obedient with what he puts in front of you, not because you're worthy or not because you're good enough, but because he's worthy and he's good enough. He's strong. You don't have to be strong. He's mighty. You don't have to be mighty. He's all-knowing. You don't have to be all-knowing. He's perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to obey. You just have to have faith, and you just have to obey. So what's he calling you to have faith and obey in this morning? I'm telling you, if this story is new to you, or you've never really thought about it this way, the first thing you need to do this morning is you need to turn your life over to Jesus. That's the first thing you need to do to obey today, is to give your life to him. He wants your life this morning. He wants you today. Because he wants you to be able to use for his will and his glory. Do you need Jesus today? Have you ever trusted him? Have you ever said, you know what, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know you've come to save me. I know that without you saving me, I'm gonna have an eternity apart from you in a place called hell. But Jesus, I need you to come into my life today. I've got faith that you are who you say you are, that you did what you said you did on the cross and rising from the grave, and you did that so I could be saved. Do you need to tell Jesus that this morning? Do you need to trust him? Do you need to have a brand new relationship with Jesus this morning? Maybe you've never thought of it in that way. Well, today you ought to think of it like that. Today ought to be the day that you turn your life over to Jesus. And then maybe you are saved, but maybe you're like, you know what? I know Jesus, but I don't know what to do next. Will you ask him, God, what are you trying to do in my life? What is it that you're putting in front of me? What am I not seeing that you want me to do? Or what am I not doing that you want me to do? And when you show me that, God, I might ask a question or two, but I'm going to have faith. Lord, help me to have the faith to do and to get out of the way and to do what you've asked me to do through your power. Help me to obey and just be obedient to this mission you have me on. Because your life, after you've accepted Jesus into your life, is just a mission. It's a mission. You're on mission for Jesus. So do you need Jesus this morning? Do you need him to save you? Do you need him to forgive you? Nothing else is going to do that. Nothing else is going to save you. No one else is going to forgive you like Jesus will. There's no other spirits floating around that are going to do anything for you. There's nobody that's ever been alive but Jesus that can ever forgive you. But Jesus can. You need to trust him today. You just need to throw your hands up and say, God, I've got faith in you and that's all I know. That's okay. That's a good place to start. Do you need Jesus today? Or do you need to follow him better today? What is it? Is God calling you to serve him? Maybe even in a ministry position. Maybe he's calling you to ministry. Is God calling you to do that? Is God calling you to serve him in that way? What is it? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for today. I thank you for guiding us, Lord, and leading us as we walk through Mary's part of the Christmas story. And Lord, my prayer for me is that I would have the kind of faith and the obedience that Mary had. But Lord, I'm encouraged to know that when I don't, when my faith isn't as strong or as quick as it needs to be, when you ask me to do something, the Lord, you're patient with me, you bear with me, because you love me. And because when you call us to do your will, Lord, you know you call us in the middle of our limitations and doubts and fears and everything that we have. You know us. And you want to use us anyway. So humbling to know that, Jesus. Lord, would you move in our hearts this morning? Would you save somebody today, Jesus? If there's somebody in here that's never followed you, never put their trust in you, Lord, they put their trust in everything else in life. Maybe even other spiritual things, Lord, they've tried to put their trust in, but none of them are good. None of them are good enough except you, Jesus. You're the only one that came and lived a perfect life, died on a cross and rose from the grave. So for that reason, we put our faith into you this morning, Jesus. Speak to us. Lord, if somebody in here today is struggling with a call on their life or what you want them to do, maybe it's a ministry call. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just to be more involved or to walk across the yard and talk to our neighbor. Be a better Christian at work. Be a better husband, wife, mom, dad, kid, in our families. But Lord, help us to have the faith and know that you can do all of that and help us to obey everything you put in front of us. We love you. We ask all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.